You're listening to Forward Ever, Leading in Challenging Times, presented by Worth Wealth Management, a weekly discussion with leaders around the Midwest about how they adapt and persevere in uncertain times. Now, here's your host, Gary Shorman.
Hi, I'm Gary Shorman, and thanks for joining us because today we're going to talk about something fun, and that's called winemaking, but I have with me on the line Kirk Johnson, who runs the Shiloh Vineyard just south and probably a little bit west of Waukini. Kirk, good to have you on the call today.
Yeah, very thankful for having me on today.
You know what? I had a chance to visit your vineyard, and I was impressed by a couple of things. One, the work you've done to create a vineyard in what is not typically, you know, wine country, but what you've done to maybe make it work and be successful over the past, not only past year, but building your reputation in not only wines, but what you do and how you do it. So I want to talk a little bit about that. We talk about on this program a lot, leading through challenging times, and certainly the pandemic was a challenging time. But let's go back a little bit. How did you get started in the winemaking business?
Well, we really weren't going to be a winery. When we first started, we got the land from my uncle in 2007, and we didn't want to expand our farming operation and have to upgrade all of our equipment, spend several million dollars and go through that whole process. So we decided just to plant some grapes. In 2008, we planted 2,000 vines. We were going to sell our grapes to Smoky Hill Vineyard in Salina, Kansas, which was the largest winery in the state of Kansas at that time. And 2 years after we planted our vines, I got a call that Norm Jennings was wanting to get out of the wine business. So me and my wife looked at each other and said, well, maybe we need to learn how to make wine. And with that one decision, there was a whole cascade of events that happened. Considering that we didn't know anything about this business. So we had to learn how to make wine. We started restoring our buildings out here. It was risky because, like you said, this is a non-traditional place to grow grapes. This is not a huge wine drinking area either. More with beer and others. So first year, I think we did 350 gallons of wine. And I still remember the first people that came out for a wine tasting. And I was so excited because we were finally going to sell something instead of all the money going into the infrastructure and vines and winery and all that.
How'd that first tasting go? Because I know people have to be surprised say, boy, there's a vineyard here. So
it went well. It was a dad and two daughters, a local farmer, and they didn't want to leave. It was what happened. And that still happens to this day. And that comment, I can't believe there's a winery here. We don't get that as much. We get, I know you're there, but we just haven't had time to come out and visit you yet. So anyway, it just keeps growing and growing. We just have been thrilled of the people that have shown up out here. So,
well, you know what, you pull up out there, you go west of Waukini, a few miles in south, and you're really out on the plains. When you talk about areas to grow wines, and basically the grapes to make the wine. How did you determine which wines to grow, which one would work in a very rural part of Western Kansas?
Well, when we first started, like I said, we asked Norm Jennings, who owns Smoky Hill Vineyard, what kind of grapes we should grow out here, what he wanted. Because if you're going to sell them to a winery, you need to ask the winery what grapes they need. And he gave us a couple suggestions, Norton and Vidal Blanc. We figured out after a little while that compared to Salina, our environment is totally different than theirs. And the Norton kind of works, the Vidal Blanc did not work. And we figured out we had to grow grapes that were acclimated to even northern Minnesota, Canada, in this area. And it's not that we get to negative 30 or 40, but we have to be able to withstand temperature swings here. We don't have a large body of water that moderates our temperatures. So we started studying cold hardy varieties, and we went to a conference or two. We were able to taste the wines that were made from these cold hardy varieties, and we've switched to them. So you're not going to get a Cabernet Sauvignon or a Merlot or a Chablis, but we're definitely doing these cold hardies. So something like Petit Pearl, Verona, Itasca, Norier, Chamberson, Brianna, they like this area. And in fact, prior to Prohibition, Kansas was the number two grape producing state in the United States at that time. And Missouri was number one. So
well, you certainly have to have a longer view of how you do that, because you plant a field of wheat and it grows and you harvest the next year and you get your money back, or at least hopefully get your money back and make some. What's it take to grow a grapevine? Because I don't think that's a 1 year, 2 year process.
Yeah, this is not like other things where you can get in and out real quick. You are committed once you start. So you plant the vines, and then 3 years before you harvest any grapes, and you'll get maybe a half harvest. You want the root system to get established. So if they even produce any grapes, you want to pull them off and just let it let them really establish their root system. And then, you know, once you pick them, then you've got another at least 6 months to a year before you even get a bottle of wine. So you're almost 4 years out before you even get a bottle of wine out of it. But in that time period, and what we found, we were able to spend a lot of our efforts at restoring the buildings here and working on the yard, landscaping, taking care of some weed problems. And it's paid off over the last decade by doing that. So we're trying to make a place where it's very peaceful, where people can come and enjoy this rural setting. You don't hear traffic. At night, you can see the Milky Way. And there's people who really appreciate that.
So, if you go to your website and shilohvineyard.com, you have some pictures of that, and it is a beautiful facility. And I'm certainly impressed. You took farm buildings that are traditional Western Kansas kind of farm buildings and turned them into some really cool structures for everything from just a small family to a large family gathering to just people who are stopping by, and you've done a terrific job with that. So thanks for your work there. And if you go to shilohvineyards.com, you can take a look at some of the stuff. One thing I wanted to talk about, and we talked about leadership through the pandemic, what happened to a vineyard during the pandemic? Not only yours, but others. Obviously, it certainly changed, at least for the last year, what was happening, who was visiting, what was taking place. What happened in your case?
Well, usually, you go January, February, March are slow months, and then it starts picking up in April, and then through the summer and all that. Well, last year, when the pandemic started, our sales dropped off by 80%, and we weren't the only ones. Our sources of income, we have a venue for weddings. Quite a few of them got canceled or delayed. And the local groups, which we do all kinds of gatherings, family reunions, birthday parties, retirement parties, bridal showers, they just flat dried up. So we were going, okay, what's going to happen? We had also thought that we could maybe, or we sell in local liquor stores too, but that just pretty much stayed steady for us. So it looked like we were going to have a tough year. We were going, okay, what are we going to do? One thing that happened that we'd been involved with it's called Harvest Host, and it's a organization in North America. There's like 1600 places where you can join this, and you can find the directory for it. Then you can come to these farms, wineries, distilleries, breweries, museums, golf courses, and spend the night. If you have a self-contained RV unit, you dry camp. It doesn't cost anything to spend the night there, but you're supposed to buy some of the product. And that made up the difference. I don't know if you noticed, but there were a lot of campers going back and forth because the environment had shifted. And instead of flying, they were going across America and staying in their campers. I think our venue also really helped that. We had always had a very strenuous cleaning program whenever we had anybody here. But then we also have a nice patio where people could distance themselves and spread out and just feel safe out here where they could be in their own little group and it was absolutely fine. So that was unforeseen to us when that came along. But we did have to shift our hours a little bit. You know, before we'd like to go 1 to 6. Well, we were going more like 6 to 10 just because a lot of the campers, when they would drive, they would come in and it'd be later in the evening. So we just had to shift our hours. And that was part of what we had to do. But you know, I'm still amazed at all of the people that stop by. And if I was making a community, these campers were so gracious and thankful that we let them stay here and that they were able to go and experience this place. I was just beside myself that they wanted to come and spend the night here.
Talk about that group a little bit. Harvest Host, is that what it is? And
it is.
You go and look at that and travel around. Is that the idea? You just travel around from different places all throughout North America?
Yes. I'm going to say it this way. I'm on Travel and Tourism Board in Trigo County, and we had the golf course come yesterday to our board meeting. And I noticed on their financials, they had a slot for Harvest Host. They're a place where they can come and spend the night there. And it surprised me how many people did that. And this is not knocking any of the campgrounds or any of that. It's just a way to go to some of these places that is off the beaten path a little bit. And you can see places that you would even think about. So this has been, we've been a Harvest Host host site for 6 years now. They have really done an awesome job with it. There's quite a few of the winery folks that I know that are members of this, and it's just given an opportunity for people to find these places, because a lot of times they're just not off the interstate or off of a road. It's like for our place, they have to drive 5.5 miles on a dirt road to get to us, but it hasn't curtailed it. And in fact, I'm amazed at the number of reservations that we're able to do. I know they did change their policy a little bit. It used to be they had to, people had to call us up and make their reservation, but they switched it to where it's done online now. And so they can do reviews on us and we can do reviews on them. But everyone that's been out here have no complaints whatsoever.
Well, Kirk, it sounds like it's a great way if people want to travel to, it makes you want to go out and buy an RV and travel around and do this. But there's some other things I want to talk about. I'm going to take a quick break here. We're going to come back and going to talk a little bit about what you work, because you're a business just like any business. And there are those things out there that involve the Kansas legislature, winemaking around the country. And want to talk about those when we come back. Our guest is Kirk Johnson with Shiloh Vineyards. Back after this.
It's now on our watch. America's been tested before, many times. We salute those that are on the front line, in our own backyard, and well beyond. And those that lead us to a better tomorrow. Our roots run deep, and so do our relationships. Let's move forward together. Live with confidence. Worth Wealth Management. There is a tomorrow that shines upon a better day. We'll move forward together.
Welcome back to Forward Ever, Leading in Challenging Times. Kurt Johnson, a winemaker from Waukene area in Trigo County. We were talking about what they did, how they survived. But how do you survive going forward, going through this type of year? What does it take from the Kansas legislature? What does it take from Congress? What rules do you work within to keep your vineyard, I'll say, viable?
Oh, you're opening a can of worms.
That's what leadership is all about, figuring out a way out of that. So are the rules where you need them to be, or are you working within the legislature to improve them for winemakers in general?
Federally and on the state level, we are in organizations that help lobby. It's like doing this job is a full-time job and then some, so I don't have time to go to Topeka or to Washington to actually lobby. So we have people who watch this. Kansas Association of Grape Growers and Winemakers in Kansas is the group that we are associated with here in Kansas. Not so much on the federal level. It's more done, since we're such small potatoes here, it's done more with California and New York and Texas and some of the larger grape growing regions.
Have the laws in Kansas improved?
They have. You know, Kansas was one of the latter states to enact the farm winery bill. And my apologies, it was either 86 or 87. And there was a local person who started this. He was a legislator. And so we were able to start making wine here. And over the course of the last few years, they have softened some of the regulations where at this time, it seems like things are working well for us. There is a 30% requirement of Kansas juice that has to be used. Definitely not opposed to that whatsoever. It's been challenging to be able to meet that to some point, but partially we were able to do that by making fruit wines instead mm-hmm. of just totally grape until we figured out how to grow grapes here, which was a total learning curve for that.
The story is great. You and your wife, Drever, are out there and learning so many things. And you share some of those on your website, shilohvineyard.com. And I want to encourage people to go there and not only learn about what you're doing, see what you're doing, and obviously a tasting room and things like that make the story even better. But if you were to go back and take a look over the last few years, what would you change to do anything better?
This is one of those things. I think me and my wife, we have a critical eye. And so somebody will come here and just be going, oh, wow, this is so cool. And we'll go, well, we didn't get that taken care of, or that needs painted, or this needs fixed. What would we do different? I don't think we would change much right now because we were ignorant about what it took to do this. And I think when we first started, if we would have realized everything it did take, I don't know if we would have taken it on, but we did.
And you've built a beautiful place. You have a tasting room if somebody wants to come out, and you have a lot of different things there. that you can taste, from cheeses to wines to other chocolate, even chocolate out there that you can taste. What are your hours for that? And where's the best way to find out if somebody just wants to come out to visit? What do they need?
At this, we're kind of running winter hours right now, and with COVID hours too. It's 1 to 6 on Saturday and Sunday. Starting May 1st, we'll be open 7 days a week, 1 to 8. So I on our website, we'll tell what our business hours are. Facebook, Pinterest. If you're interested, you can go to our website and sign up for our newsletter, and then you will know what kind of events that we're having out here. It's going to be more concert. We do concerts out here. We do open houses. And we're going to start Memorial Weekend. We'll be serving food and with food vendors, and have some local artists playing. So you could sure come out and enjoy the time with that. Later on in the year, I know we have events. We do a 5-course meal. We hire a local chef to come and cook, and the meal is paired with our wines. About a 3-hour event, has been well attended over the last few years. At this time, Ryan Salser is our cook. He's got Smoking Co. out of Hayes. He does a wonderful job. Wonderful job.
Boy, that sounds good. You know, I grew up on the farm, Kirk, but we only raised hogs, cattle, wheat, grain, Milo, all that sort of stuff that we did. And I may have stayed farming had I known you could make wine out there.
You know, it was the same thing. I came back here in the mid-70s and helped my uncle ranch and farm, and we had a cow-calf grain operation. Had 350 cows and wheat, Milo corn, alfalfa. And it was a lot of 18-hour days. We're still farmers, but we're vertically integrated. So we sell the final product, and then we have a venue for people to enjoy. So we don't have to have 10,000 acres to make a living at this. It's economic development. We are having people coming from outside of our own county and spending money in Trigo County. It's one business that is definitely having that happen here. So, and I've heard people ask, well, are you concerned about other wineries opening up in your area? And I'd say, I would love it if we had 20 more wineries opened up in our area, then we'd be a destination, much more so. And it would just draw more people here.
Well, Kirk, thanks so much for joining me, taking the time out of your schedule today. And I hope people do go to your vineyard website, and that's Shiloh Vineyard, and get a chance. It's a great drive out and back to be able to do that. You have some fun things. You have classes. You're teaching people how to do things. You have tasting opportunities. And so keep up the good work, and appreciate the hard work that you've done over the years to build such a beautiful place. You guys have done a terrific job.
Well, thank you very much, Gary.
Our guest has been Kurt Johnson, who is with Shiloh Vineyards, just to the south and west of Waukene in Trigo County. It's a great place to go stop by, visit, and learn more about. You can find out more at shilohvineyard.com. I'm Gary Shorman. Thanks for listening to Forward Ever, Leading in Challenging Times.
Thanks for listening to Forward Ever, sponsored by Worth Wealth Management. If you have a great suggestion for a future guest for the program, you can email Gary at gary.shorman@eagleradio.net. That's gary.shorman@eagleradio.net. Forward Ever is a production of Eagle Communications.
Challenging times are when experience matters. We allow our clients to live with confidence. Long-term trusted relationships. Worth Wealth Management. Enhancing lives and strengthening families.